Blog Talk Radio.
R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and I am just glad that you guys decided to join me on this afternoon. I just want you guys to know that today is a great day, no matter what you've gone through. Just go ahead and put those things aside. I like to be able to use the show to be an inspirational show, a motivational show, to just uplift you, encourage you, and just give you some music to help you unwind and relax and just help you go into your evening. Today we're going to have a great, awesome show. We have an amazing guest that's going to come up later in the show. And so we also have Dr. Farmer coming up, where Dr. Farmer is going to do his segment, which is called Ask Dr. Farmer. So I want you guys to just stay tuned and be able to hear the special treats that I have lined up for you guys today. So we're going to go ahead and listen to some music. The music we're going to hear right now is by Sierra. It's called Living It Up. So if you haven't already started living it up, go ahead and live it up on today and just live your life on purpose. That's all I can tell you is no one's promised tomorrow, so just live your life on purpose. This is Sierra, Living It Up.
Some love, but I know it's true. Yeah, yeah. I don't have many friends, but I got you.
is crazy. I never thought that I would actually be singing a song about this. But it actually ain't so bad.
Listen, say I want it all, so I got it all, and I kept it all, and I lost it all. Say I was the smooth brother, say I was the cool lover, but I had to stop. You see what meant more? Oh, because this train was pulling out of the station, and there was no way I wasn't gonna make it loving you. Say I know the pain, I've seen the rain, and I held your hand through a bright day. Say I was the heart mender, say I was far from a pretend love, but I was moving on, and you soon discovered that. Say 'cause this train was a pulling out of the station, and there was no way I wasn't gonna make that say. Don't have a word to say. Say all I could say was mm-hmm. Oh, 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 yeah. Say I'll miss you. Say I'll miss all of your love, baby. Yeah. Say you can pick up the phone and
I'm not afraid to Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and I am just so excited that you guys are tuning in tonight. That song you guys heard, it was entitled I Want You, and it was by Kasha. Well, guys, it's that time again when we have our segment, which is Ask Dr. Farmer. And so we're going to be hearing from Dr. Farmer. He's going to give you guys some life tools and help you guys be able to be equipped for different things that you may have going on. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Dr. Farmer in. Hey, Dr. Farmer, how are you doing on today?
I'm doing pretty good, Tanisha. Pretty good.
Okay, well, I want you, for those listeners who don't know you, I want you to go ahead and tell them about you and about your company and everything, and then we'll go ahead and you tell them what you're going to be talking about tonight.
For those who do not know me, my name is Dr. James Farmer. I'm a what you call a developmental coach, but my experience goes a little bit deeper than that. Not only am I a developmental coach, which is a combination of executive coaching and life coaching, I run training programs to certify people in that area. But also, I'm a counselor, a professional counselor, and a licensed therapist here in the Arlington-Fort Worth area. And what I do is teach people a variety of life skills that helps them move forward. And so lately I've been doing a lot of public speaking, workshops, and so forth. And I also do Christian counseling. So for any of you that might be interested in getting a hold of me, please give me a call. Tanisha will be putting that information up for you guys. And so just give me a call or email me, and I'll make a contact and we'll see if we can get something going.
Okay. Well, what are we going to talk about on tonight, Dr. Farmer?
I thought we might talk about something that I'm getting ready to present in a couple of days called Managing Emotions Under Pressure. That's a pretty good one that we all experience. And I thought, Tanisha, that what I might do a lot of times with the kind of cycle I have, psychotherapist, coach, counselor, I thought that tonight I might just break on down, move the titles to the side, and talk a little bit and share with your listeners how you get yourself going when you've been hit from different sides of things, you know, that you're unexpected things that hit you. How do you get up and get moving again?
Well, that sounds like a great thing, because I know a lot of us go through so many different things with just life. And so I think that's going to be great. I'm got my pen and I have my paper ready, and I'm going to be taking notes already with you.
Okay, I thought that what I would do is take you back a few years in my life when everything was going pretty great. I'm not going to say fantastic, but everything was going okay, and suddenly the bottom fell out. Unprepared, life took a different change for me. In June, for example, and I'm not going to go through all 16 things that went wrong in a 12-month period. I'm just going to pick maybe half of those and kind of just give you a quick summary of what was going on. And if some of you can identify with it, fine. It served the purpose for me to share. And if some of you can't identify with it, think of someone that you know that may have gone through some of these things. And so let me open up and share with, again, the listeners. I think the first thing that hit me unexpectedly, we had just, my wife and I had just gotten back from Disney World, had a good time down there, took the kids in May, and just had a wonderful time, spent a week down there. In June, the wife walked out. didn't know it was coming. We were not a couple that argued and fight. Just suddenly just walked out. And here I'm left with, what do you do now? You know, the wife and kids are gone. And so I'm sitting and trying to figure out what went wrong. Were there any arguments? What did I do wrong? But there was a major walkout. So as I'm trying to get through that ordeal, another ordeal comes in. I think at the time I was trying to get that ordeal, my mom was talking to me a lot and encouraging me and counseling me. And then, and I remember the walkout was in June. In November, my mother dies. Now, I don't know how many of your listeners have gone through that process of mama dies. You know, you think of other people's mothers dying. You think of other folks dying, but you never think of your own mother dying. You know, it's like I couldn't process that, you know, that my mother is gone. Someone whom I've known all my life, who's been there to encourage me, is gone. And it even gets more complicated than that. Now you've got to fly home to bury mama. And unfortunately, there's not any courses like Burial 101, how do you bury your mother? And you have all these emotions inside of you, these feelings, this pressure. Your wife then walked out, and for some of you it would be your husband walking out, but your wife then walked out, and now mama then died. So that was a hard one for me to chew on. And I didn't have anyone to talk with. Who do you talk with? Your mama died, you know. That's one that you have to accept. And so I tried not to, and I'll go into how I got through some of this. And so 5 months later, it's March, my father dies. Now, I got to get back on the plane, $600 trip from here to Iowa, and go back and bury my father. So you can imagine what kind of shape my relatives were in. It looked like, you know, they were just zombies walking around. You know, mom died. Now, dad died. Nobody had made a move to get the funeral going. They were all in shock waiting for me to come. And so I got to take off trying to get everything together. So I'm just, you know, I'm not even there, but yet I am there. And so wife gone, the mom dies, and then your dad dies. Now, couldn't get any worse than that. And suddenly, my home is being foreclosed on. And I have those kind of mortgage companies. We got to have the money now. That's it. And really, your mind's not there. They don't want to hear about all the tragedies that has happened in your life. They just want their money. Then, for about from September to January, first, my money stopped coming in. Just no more checks. No money coming in, no nothing. So I'm forced into the next one. I got to live off of a credit card. I had an American Express card, was very proud of it. But now I'm living on that, trying to pay the water bill, electric bill, and so forth. Your water company don't want to hear, well, you know, you don't understand, sir or ma'am, I done lost my parents here, I done lost this, and this isn't going right. They don't want to hear that. They want the money. The electric bill, they want the money. You know, if you're not paying mortgage, they want the money. And then on top of all of that, the IRS, I'm not going to go through all 16. The IRS came in and took money out of my bank. Now, I want to share these things because one of my neighbors, we were talking a couple of days ago, and he just talked about how the IRS had taken money out of his bank. This was a gentleman about 70 years of age. And I could see the anger on his face like it just happened a few minutes ago. And so I go to the bank, didn't have very much in there, but it was going to be enough to try to pay a bill here and there, and that was gone. You want to know at that moment, who do you beat up? Who do you knock down? Who do you hurt? Because somebody's just taking your last. You don't even have enough money in there to go buy groceries. Are you getting the picture there? And then to add injury to whatever was going on here, a friend of mine stopped by. Give you a little bit more information. A friend came in who didn't have a car, didn't have just clothes on the back and no money in the bank, a lot of bills, just basically homeless. Said, you know, I'm going to need some help, but I don't do no cooking and I don't do no cleaning. Well, most folks would have slammed the door in the person's face right then. But now this is a friend that you've known for 20 years that's asking for help. So what do you do? Now, in this situation, I also lost about, I went down from 239 pounds down to 180. So I was looking so thin. People didn't know if I was on drugs, I had AIDS or what. They just know that there was a major loss. And so I just basically just said, well, I'm not going to talk about it. I'll just keep on moving, keep on pushing, you know, and that's basically what I did. Now, who do you talk to when you're going through this kind of pressure? Remember the title of this is, you know, emotions, managing emotions under pressure. So I've just created pressure that would be in anybody's life if they had gone through the experience with me, okay? And so I'm saying now, who do I talk with? Who do I share? Well, I have news for those who are listening to this. There's a lot of people don't want to hear about your pain. And I found out, too, that there's a lot who don't want to hear your pain because it reminds them of their pain. And so you get these kind of calls. They'll call, how you doing? Look, I got to go. I'll get back with you. Because they know you're going through pain. They don't want to hear it. And so I'm saying, who could really understand my situation? And I started thinking about Job in the Bible. I said, Job probably could understand it because most of my friends, after the loss of my mother, they couldn't figure out the rest of the things that were going wrong. And so they said, I remember one friend said, I better stay away from you because I don't want some of this stuff to happen to me. So you're really alone. You're under pressure. You have all these emotions. You can't sleep at night. You can't eat, you know. And this is what I was going through. So I wanted to create a situation of pressure. So what did I do? I mean, let's get right down to it. What did I do to try to get myself out of this? Well, as I said earlier, I asked for Job. I figured Job could really understand what I was going through. And then I found myself praying a lot more. Yeah, praying. That's something that, you know, you would think, well, a therapist and coach and counselor would do. Yeah, that's something that Mama had taught me. She taught me that when things get so bad, sometimes you got to go on your knees and talk to God about what's going on. You got to talk to Jesus. And so he and I had a whole lot of talks, many a nights when I couldn't sleep. We just talked about what is it you're trying to tell me? What is it I'm supposed to do? What do I need to clean up? And then I started thinking about, and I eventually went on and made a, I call it the roadmap to Christianity, and I divided it into three pieces here. And I had to ask myself, what kind of Christian am I? And so in the first piece, and maybe some of you fit here, and maybe some of you don't, but the first category I call the worldly Christian. This is a person that operates with little faith, some self-control, and they believe in God when it's convenient. Now, I don't know how many of you are there, but I know growing up as a kid, I was there. I wanted a new bicycle, and I wanted this, and I wanted that. So God was kind of like Santa Claus to me. You know, you become awareness of different voices in your head. You know, you learn as a child that, you know, there's a good voices, there's bad voices, there's angels, there's devils. And so I started saying, well, maybe I'm not totally a worldly Christian because I do believe in God. And I try to go regularly, and I try to do my tithes, and I try to read the scriptures and so forth. So that didn't categorize me, but yet there was a category, the worldly Christian. So some of you need to ask yourself, is that your category? The next category was on the fence Christian. And I said, now that sounds more like me, you know. Here I was going through all of this hurt and pain, and had lost some loved ones and so forth, and I finally decided that maybe I was on the fence, Chris. This is someone with little faith, believe in God, little patience, aware of the negative thoughts, dominated by personal needs. I said, yeah, I fit into that. Can be sometimes judgmental and critical. And then the third category was what I call the godly Christian. And that's where I guess we're all kind of working to get there. That's where my mother was. That's what I've been working on in my past all my life, trying to get to becoming a godly Christian where I could deal with this pressure. I'd seen my mom deal with a lot of pressure as I was coming up as a kid. I'd see volcanoes go up around her, and it didn't move her at all. She was always quiet, awful, always prayerful. And I'd just watch her walk through mountains, you know, out of valleys, on top of hills, and just she just had this calmness about herself. And here I am faced with how do I remain calm in the midst of this storm? Are some of you getting the bigger picture? Have any of you been through this? Or are you just listening to Dr. Farmer talk and it makes a good speech here? I don't know. But in the godly Christian, we're talking about faith, self-control, total belief in God, patience. We're aware of the negative thoughts that come in. You can't get through this. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. Or you need some drugs to help you get through it. You need another drink. All those kind of thoughts go through your mind when you're trying to become holy. In that holy category is non-judgmental attitude. Your perception is based on God's point of view. You believe in God's purpose, and you know he's in control of everything. And so I was between on-the-fence Christian en route to working my way to someday being holy. But I still had to deal with this pressure that was on me. So in a nutshell, let me kind of explain what I did. Sometimes we make the mistake of having one or two people hear our pain and we just wear their ears out. Yeah, you wear their ears out. You make them where they don't want to come in contact with you. So I put seven people around you that came in a dream or something. Put seven people around you and talk to all seven differently. There were some who were willing to listen to the pain and just for me to get it out. There were others who felt uncomfortable with my pain, but I didn't wear anybody out. And that would give me time to heal, because to heal through this process was going to take time. Now, remember, I only gave you about eight or nine things that happened, so there was another eight or seven more things I didn't even share with you on this radio cast, because I didn't want to bother with all that. I just wanted to get to the point of, number one, praying. Two, don't wear one person's ears out with your problem. Kind of find, in my case, it was seven. Your case might be five people, three people. You know, you want people who are objective. I didn't put anybody around me that was going to tickle my ears. Everybody, all seven, were tough. If I said something that was inappropriate about the XY, they definitely, you know, straightened me out to keep me balanced and in alignment. I couldn't find anybody that would feel or sit down and cry with me. They just, and I owe those friends today because they were so tough and strong, and they made me mentally tough and got me through this where I didn't go into all women are no good. Where's God when you need him? I didn't go into that, what I call the resistant attitude. Why me? Why is this happening? What did I do to deserve this? If there's a God up there, why would he let that happen to me? I chose not to go into that. And there's a lot of people who do go into it. They become angry with God because they didn't get the husband that they wanted to get, or they didn't have the child they wanted to have. They didn't get the job promotion. So that's a choice. You have the power to choose to stay away from a resisting attitude, resisting what has happened. I pretty well, and I'm getting there, I didn't go into a controlling attitude. I didn't try to control my emotions. I just sat there, and if I wanted to cry, I cried. Yeah, a guy cries. If you go to a movie with me, you'll see me sit up there and cry through a movie. I cry through movies, too. I'm that close to my emotions. I have nothing to prove. So I couldn't control the universe or control what had happened. It had already happened. So what I did have a choice was, how will I respond to this? And I responded with an acceptance attitude, a radical attitude that says, I accept my mom's death. I accept my dad's death. There's birth in this life. There's death. And now my parents are gone. I didn't fight it. I didn't resist. Yes, I missed that they were gone. Yes, I did. Some people thought I was into denial. No, I understood that death will take you at an unexpected time. My role was to, if I'm a Christian, I know that someday I'm going to see my parents again on the other side. If I don't believe that, then I will go into a resisting attitude. Why me? Why did this have to happen? Why my parents, you know? I wasn't going to go there. And the other thing I went into was what I call a flowing attitude, and that is believing that there's a God up there. He sees everything. He knows everything. He knows when a sparrow falls out of a tree. He knew that not only did I lose my parents, but he knew my financial situation. I was in a hole, deep in a hole. And for those of you who might be going through unemployment right now, I've been there before too, a year unemployed with a family. But when you believe in God, you believe him not 50%. You believe that he's big enough to take care of your problem. I have a friend right now. I know she's not listening, but she's facing a homeless shelter. And she has two boys. And she keeps texting me, telling me that she's doing okay, and that God will provide, and that she has faith to get through it. So in that flowing attitude, I've given you four attitudes: resisting attitude, controlling attitude, acceptance attitude, and the flowing attitude. You believe in your God, that he will deliver you and he will carry you. Well, it took me about a year and a half, 2 years to get through all those losses. And I'm okay. And what do I do now? Well, you know how God works. He has me go back working with people who've gone through some of those challenges that I've gone through. And now I can talk about them with individuals. I'm not saying they've gone through 16 of them, but maybe one or two of those things I've gone through. And I can talk about how to get through. So whatever you're going through, I don't care how tough it is, you must get through, so that you can someday go back and tell somebody how to get through. If you did not get through, you don't have any information to share because you don't know how to get through. Now, for many of you, I've told you how to get through. You got to use prayer. You got to know what kind of Christian you made of, because when you have been attacked, whether it was self-created or the enemy attacked you, it comes down to your core of what kind of Christian you are. If you're on the fence, well, you know, that speaks for itself. He's a God of convenience. But when you're challenged in every kind of way to reach and get your faith, to get through. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Others of you kind of lost. Let me turn the channel, you know. But when you got that faith, and as old folks used to say, you know that you know that you know, you can get through whatever you are going through. Believe me, I got through. I lost close to 50 pounds, but I was still hanging on. By the way, I gained all that weight back too. So, but I kept holding on because I knew God was going to get me through this. And as a result, I became much closer to God, much closer. So what I say to you is, for those of you who aren't that close to God, get close. Because as I look at the economy, as I look at our culture and so forth, there's going to be a lot of things go on. And you're going to need a Savior to get you through all of this. So I wanted to share because I don't get a chance to share very much, and so I thought maybe I would share on Tanisha's show a little bit of just kind of what I'm made of. Now, if I've touched anybody out there, just, you know, call me. email me. You can even text me and just say, I heard you. You know, I'm there. I held my hand up when you were talking because you shared on what it's like to go through pain and pressure. You, one last point, then I'll stop. You manage those emotions by calling on God, by deciding what attitude you're going to use. It's an acceptance attitude, accepting things that you cannot change. And it's a flowing attitude, looking upon God, realizing you've been here before, and you got through, and you'll get through again. Using self-talk. I don't mean walking in a crowd talking to yourself, but I'm saying when you're alone, talk to yourself. Encourage yourself. Be around people who can encourage you. If you got toxic people, get rid of them. You don't need that. Those kind of people keep you drained all the time. But you said, Dr. Farmer, what if it's my boyfriend? What if it's my girlfriend or my mom or my dad? Sometimes you have to keep them at arm's length. You keep them at arm's length. Say what you have to say. Keep your words short and then move on. Don't try to get into any long, lengthy conversation. That's when people start just wearing on you, stepping on every nerve and draining you. So I hope that I've reached a few of you out there and that you can utilize my experience, what I shared, to help you get through your experience. I want you to say, you know, Dr. Farmer shared something personal, and if he could do this, I can do it too. I don't care how tough the problem is. So thank you again for allowing me to share. As some of the coming weeks and some of the coming weeks, I want to talk about self-esteem. Just how do you build it? If I go out and buy a new car, is that going to make me feel better? Do I have authentic self-esteem? So I want to talk a little bit about that. I'll be drawing from my book that's still on its way out, coming in, I should say. We're trying to get it published. And then further down, I like to talk about relationships, how to avoid toxic partners. Now, I'm not talking about how to get rid of the toxic partner you got now, but how to avoid them. What kind of questions can you ask that'll let you know ahead of time you don't want to deal with that? So we'll be talking about that, and there'll be other fun things that I want to share with you that'll be hot topics. And if any of you have some things that you want me to talk about, just email me. Would you talk about this, Dr. Farmer? And I'll gladly pick up the subject and talk about it in one of the shows. So, okay, Tanisha, I finished.
Okay, well, like he said, you guys can email him at james.farmer@att.net. Once again, that's james.farmer@att.net. Go ahead and, you know, email Dr. Farmer your questions, your comments, or whatever, and he will get back to you or bring it up on the next show. I am just amazed with everything you said, Dr. Farmer, because those are issues that I think a lot of people are not able to talk to anybody about or learn about. And so since you brought it up, I think it brings awareness to people to say, you know what, I have gone through these things, and I didn't know that, you know, who to talk to or how to handle that situation. So I'm just glad that you were able to share those things because I know the listeners are out there and they're needing those tools to help them, you know, with the different life circumstances so they can have a better life. So you guys will hear Dr. Farmer once again next week. Every week we have him on, and the segment is called Ask Dr. Farmer. And so, like I said, he will have all of the information that he feels that will help you be able to, you know, get through the different challenges. We're going to go ahead, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to hear a song by D'Angelo.
We can't ignore tomorrow's tomorrow. All
You are listening to Jill Scott, and the song was a remix, and it was entitled Golden. We're about to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have an amazing guest, Suze Green. So we'll be right back with you.
Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio. Or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
It's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and I am just so excited about this time that we always have our special guest, but this is an exclusive guest. She's going to do an exclusive interview for you guys, and so I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself to you guys.
Hello, TJ, and hello, everybody out there listening. My name is Suze Green, and I am an entertainer, a songwriter, a photographer, an artist. A lot of things, but I'm known as a singer, and I'm known as the last member of the Supremes. Hello.
Well, thank you for being a part of the show on today and being on Faces of Success Radio. It is truly, truly an honor. And so I want you to go ahead and share with the listeners your social media, like your Facebook, your webpage, all of that information so they can find out more about you and your music as well.
Okay. My Facebook is www.facebook.com/Suze Green, one word. That's SuseGreene. Okay? And I have a site that is called www.SupremePartnersLive.com. That's SupremePartners Live, LIVE.com. And that's the place where you can go for any information about myself and Sherry Payne, who was my partner in the Supremes. We are, along with Mary Wilson, we were the last member of Supremes. And we recorded, after we left the Supremes, we recorded an album called Partners, Sherry and Suze, which we are celebrating right now. It's been put out from Universal Japan, and you can find it on Amazon.com and all kinds of places. But all of that information is on Supreme Partners Live, or you can reach me on my Twitter, and that is, of course, www.twitter.com, and I am at Suze, S-U-S-A-Y-E. So there's lots of places you can find me. I also hang out a lot at DeviantArt.com. DeviantArt is one of the biggest art sites on the web, and I'm known as Supreme Extreme there, where I display a lot of my drawings and my ideas and stories, a lot of tremendous artists of all genres from around the world. So as I said, I'm lots of places. But I'm in the process at the moment, Sherry and I, as I said, of celebrating this Partners album. It's available online and around the world. And we are in the process of putting gigs together around the world to tour this CD. It was lobbied for quite a long time by our fans. And as the two of us wrote and produced and arranged along with other people, other fabulous musicians, and with the late Eugene McDaniels as our co-producer or executive producer, and Suzanne DePass at that time at Motown. And the album came out in 1979. And it's out again because it's been lobbied for. It's the first time it's ever been on CD, which is just tremendous for us. It's also available on Amazon.com, the MP3. So, you know, the music was ahead of its time from what we've been told. And we're glad to be celebrating it. And speaking of celebrating, you know, this year is the 50th year of the Supremes, the mighty Supremes, from the original Supremes, Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, and Diana Ross. And there were many, you know, there's the history of the Supremes that I hope that people never, ever forget. But I was blessed enough to have been included in that illustrious group, and 50 years since Where Did Our Love Go came out. So there's a lot of celebrating. As well, I am personally celebrating a song that I wrote with Stevie Wonder for Michael Jackson, a song called I Can't Help It. And it was on his Off the Wall album. And it's the 35th anniversary of I Can't Help It on Off the Wall. It's Off the Wall's 35th anniversary. So I'm so excited about that. You know, there's a lot going on in my life, and I was involved in 20 Feet from Stardom recently, which won an Academy Award, and there's just so much going on, you know, but I'm singing, I've got new music I'm getting ready to release, and I'm just in a very, very good space. I'm also developing my record company, my own record company, and I have several artists who I work with, who I write with, produce with, a lot of different ways, who are involved, and we're going to release some wonderful music, you know. It's a very exciting time for me.
Well, I'm just excited to be able to have you on the show and just feel your energy, and it seems like you're living your life on purpose. That's what we were talking about earlier on the show. I had a counselor that comes on, and that's what we were talking about. So I'm just excited that the listeners are able to be included on all of the many things that you have going on. So I tell you, listeners, to please check her out. Go to the website, go to her Twitter, Facebook, and also go on there and get her music. Like she said, she's done some amazing, wonderful things. I wanted to go ahead and ask you, because you're really passionate about everything that you do, when did you know you had a passion for music and as well as all of your creative, you know, things with art and stuff like that?
Well, I was very blessed as a child to have a mother who was particularly well-educated and focused and who gave me the high self-esteem to dream, you know, to she recognized that I was an individual, that I had a lot of talents, and she helped to develop those talents. She coached me herself. She recognized that I had a singing voice where I had an extraordinary range. I have a 5-octave range. So she made sure I learned how to deal in the world of music or the things that she could see I was talented in, you know. So that was the first blessing. Because she had a master's degree in music, it made it very easy. She was a teacher, you know. She had that wonderful, magical way of seeing someone's talent or listening to someone's talent and knowing not just how they were, how good they were, but how to develop it, you know, how to get the most out of it. So she emphasized. I mean, she was from a little bitty town in Texas called Nacogdoches, and the chances of her going to obscurity were pretty good, you know, because of the times that she grew up in Texas. But she had parents who were school teachers and principals and who believed in being leaders for a community, for ensuring that young people got education, for letting people find the tools and the things that they need to not just to be inspired, but the tools to actually actualize what you dream about. She taught me how to be proud of the English language and how to use it to my creative extent, you know, to the furthest extent. We would play with words just like we would play with my other subjects. You know, she made it fun. And she recognized and helped me to recognize that having a talent, that music affects people so much. In every country in the world, there's music. There's a place as human beings that we're touched. That's the same place in all of us, in our hearts, in our minds, in the things that we experience as humans. I try to be now, because of my experience and because of my travels, I try to advocate for people looking toward their dreams and being inspired in the way of stepping into the obscure, you know. A lot of people will tell you, stay in your lane. And a lot of people will tell you, and this is to young men and to young women, who have a tremendous struggle these days with the way that the world is. And it's not just certain towns. We all know it's everywhere. Ignorance is prevalent everywhere. I'm involved with a goodwill treaty that's very, very important to me. You can find this treaty. It's called the Goodwill Treaty for World Peace. It means so much to me because I realize that our world spins so quickly. There's technology, there's everything for us now. Whatever we can conceive, we can achieve it. It's all out there. A lot of it is for free. A lot of the tools. If you want to be an artist, you need to go where the artists are. If you want to be a doctor, then you need to go where the doctors are. If you want to marry an attorney, you need to go to where the law books are. It's like that, you know, it really is. And music is the same way. It touches all of us so deeply that each of us has a song that we can associate with a particular time that's special in our minds. It's a human thing. The Goodwill Treaty, I want everybody who's interested, to go to a place on the web called BryantMcGill.com, BryantMcGill.com/treaty, TREAPY. And we have over 150,000 signers now of the Goodwill Treaty. A lot of really famous people, a lot of not-so-famous people, but a lot of movie stars, a lot of people of every religion, persuasion, race, background, and every perspective. It's an important thing. You know, I just wanted to mention that. And I'd like to hear some music anytime.
Okay. Well, I think that was great that you shared that because that brings awareness to the listener so they can go on there and check that out and also be a part of that because, like you said, I mean, we're living in a time where things are – everything moves so fast, and I think this generation, they're not able to appreciate a lot of things that, you know, the singers and songwriters from back when you guys were doing music. And so now, for like you said, your music was ahead of its time. So now I think it's great that it's coming back around so we can experience all of that because I was listening to the music, and it just gives you a feeling. It just gives you a
– I love it.
I can't even explain it. So I'm just glad that it's coming back out so – we can appreciate it, and the legacy could still go on. And
well,
so,
thanks so much.
I wanted to ask you, who was one of your music inspirations in life, and why?
I've had so many. You know, I've been blessed, and you realize when opportunities fall in front of you, it's not something that you can plan. I was blessed to be inspired by my family, of course. You know, my mom had her own hit in 1948, a song called Honey, 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 which was the first song that Ray Charles recorded when he got his career. And I actually worked for Ray for a long, long time as one of the Raylettes. And, you know, of course it was inspiring to be backstage every day and see someone with that kind of charisma and intensity and focus and musicianship to get the opportunity to see that happen, see it play out. My association with Stevie Wonder, you know, I was in Wonder Love. I've always had a solo spot in whichever shows I was in. That was my deal because I've been in show business all my life, literally, since I was a little bitty kid. But the influences, because my parents were some of the first black DJs in America, in Denver, Colorado, in a place called the Five Points. You know, they had a tremendous show. And the Five Points was a place that a lot of black artists from around the country would congregate at. My mother met so many of these artists coming through there because she played the piano and sang in her own show there at the Russonian Hotel. So to have DJs whose influences were everything from Puccini, opera, Mozart, to Rahsaan Roland Kirk, to Miles, Ella Fitzgerald, Tony Bennett and Johnny Mathis were two male singers whom I listened to so closely, and they helped me to develop my sensibility of phrase, shall we say, because they could phrase tremendously. People like Jackie Wilson, who could dance. Jackie Wilson could throw down on the stage to get people all excited. And then, of course, James Brown, who put music on the one. He changed by bringing his flavor of the funk to music. He created something that was, A, his own. It belonged culturally to a group of people who really needed to know that they were black and they were proud. And people who, as we moved forward, like Michael Jackson, you know, to get the chance to write a song for Michael was just an opportunity that I fell into. You know, I happened to be working with Stevie Wonder, and we wrote a song. We've written a lot of songs, many of them unpublished, but the thing about it is, you know, a great song to get to work. I used to follow Steve around with a tape recorder because he was so prolific that it would all just spill out. These songs, I must have watched him write 100 songs. And in that, you had to average at least half of them were great songs. He may never get to record all of the material that he has. I don't know, and I hope that he still has it. But as I said, I followed him around and would give him, and we were using cassettes at the time. But he just can write songs. You know, some people pour out like that. But as influences go, you know, very often, because you live longer, you go through a lot of genres of music and a lot of things depending upon what your heart or your whimsy or opportunity gives to you. The internet, of course, has brought about a cultural revolution musically and in so many ways. It basically destroyed the record companies in the old sense of how they ran, because the internet gives people the opportunity, artists the opportunity to control their destiny, the destiny of their music. And it's not just musicians, artists, anyone who is creative. If you have an invention, you can advertise it on the web for free, so many places, you know. It's about doing the research and finding out what's available. We all know about Facebook and we know about Twitter, but a lot of people don't realize, I think, that Twitter was developed for marketing. It was developed through PR people. Marketing. It's called social media marketing. So when you consider the possibilities of that, it's there at your fingertips. Not just to say, you know, all the stuff that people say on Twitter. So much of it is fun. So much of it is ridiculous. And just like everywhere else on the web, so much of it is vile. Absolutely terrible. But that's society. That's the balance of society. Everybody's on the web. So you're going to see everything. I have to say, of the modern artists, there are many, many that I admire. I love hip-hop. Hip-hop's been very kind to me through sampling. You know, I wrote a song called Free. That was Denise Williams' first million seller. And Free has been sampled so many wonderful times. Some I didn't go for because I just thought it was out of the character of the spirit of the song, so to speak. But I'm so grateful. It has created a lot of other problems, as it would. It's male-dominated, and it is pretty much misogynistic, and as I said, all the issues. But that's life. There's always the opportunity ahead for a young artist to step out and talk about something something intelligent or something for real, and still have the music smoking along and making everybody get out there, you know, and do what they want to do on the dance floor. It's a tremendous healer, our music. What can I say?
Well, I'm just glad that you were able to share that with the listeners, because music, it is a healer. And speaking about music, we're going to go ahead and hear a song. It's from you. It's entitled From Another Love. So I wanted you to tell us a little bit about that, how you came up with it, and then you can introduce the song and we'll hear it.
Well, the thing about Partners was it was an experiment at Motown that was a very brave experiment to take two women writers, and within the confines of the times, you know, disco was the big thing at the time. And we wrote songs with real melodies and real feelings, emotional things that women go through, and it was kind of a celebration or a freedom song for both Sherry and I. You know, Sherry had been dating Lamont Dozier, which was really a lot of pressure, you know what I mean, for a writer, because he was such a tremendously successful writer. And I actually encouraged her to write more because she has a tremendous turn of phrase. She has a sense of humor in her writing. That's how we got songs like Leaving Me Was the Best Thing You Have Ever Done, you know. But this particular song, I Found a Love, Another Love, was about a relationship. Just where sometimes women kind of, you know, you get that strut because, you know, you've come to this place and I am free of drama and free of something that I know is not good for me. And that's how it starts off. Pardon me if I'm saying goodbye. It happens.
Well, we're going to go ahead and hear that song. This is Suze Green, and the song is entitled Found Another Love.
Don't want me no more, no. And it's time for this lady to go. I like you said, love bug in bottle season.
That's right.
Don't give me that jab. The love bug is known for being easy.
What?
Saw a tear in his eye. Said, don't cry, sugar, didn't mean it. But I broke his face, and he was feeling out of place.
Well, I
he
know.
Felt that somebody was doing him wrong when I was merely singing my song. He was getting mad and mad.
I got crushed.
His little wings were beating so fast. Then he started to dance and say, the little fella shaking boogie. With a wink of his eye, he sprinkled love around and disappeared, never saying why. First here he's done his love and running. A little pat on his head, I said, love bug, give me Tommy. He started to dance and say, the little fella shaking boogie. With a wink of his eye, he sprinkled love around and disappeared, never saying bye. Cause his hair is gone, his love is running.
You were listening to You were listening to Love Bug, and that was by Suze Green. We are joined here in on the radio with Suze Green, and I'm going to let her tell you guys a little bit about that song and how she came up with that as well.
Well, that song at the time, people hadn't really begun doing videos at that time, so I wanted to write something. I sat at the piano, and I wanted to write something that was funky, and yet I wanted it to be very visual. And I asked Ray, once I sang the song for him and played it on the piano in his office, if he would come and record it with me. So, of course, he did. You know, I had sung with Ray for a long, long time, and I came off the road to do other things, but he always remained my mentor. He could always tell me. I could say I have a problem with a contract. I could call Ray, and he would always tell me, well, the best way to do this, darling, is to, first of all, think about it. And really very down-to-earth kind of suggestions and very astute. He was a very astute business person, you know. And, of course, Ray developed his own style through his love of his influences. But I know that he was very proud of that particular song because he told me, after he came down to Mo West Studios at that time, it was in Hollywood, and he sang the song. He had listened to it. I had sent him the song so that he could decide what he wanted to do in it. And he came down, and we put his vocals down, and it was a lot of fun, but he told me he was riding along on the freeway one time and sitting in the car. The driver said there were young people in a car who flagged them down, literally, off the freeway, and said that they had heard this song, Mr. Charles, Mr. Charles. And this is a story he told me, and I just cracked up, of course, but he said, they said, Mr. Charles, you know, of course, we love you so much, and it's such a pleasure to get to see you and everything, but we heard this song that you were singing on Susie Green's CD, Blood of the Supreme. He died laughing, you know. He said, I thought they were going to talk about me. He was a tremendously fun person. You know, he just had that genius word is not so thrown around. You hear it a lot these days, but he was the real deal. He could only not see. He was so tuned in to everything else that he could get in a cab on his own and go from L.A. to Paris or to wherever he wanted. And someone would always help him. He knew how famous he was, but he was always just a person, just the same. He was the same on stage, and he was the same off. And that's, I think, why we got along so well. You know, he was really a dear friend. We got along because he had this raucous sense of humor and the passion for the music. It always comes back to that, doesn't it? That's what drove him, was that passion for music. He told me so many times, I would have done this for free. Of course, he said, don't tell people while I'm alive. And I didn't. But he would. If there was a piano, if you were in an airport and there was a piano, he was going to sit down and play. He just was, you know, it was his life. It was what made him happier than anything. It's who he was really married to, his music. So many musicians are that way who are, you know, who's on that level, you know, but a lot of people are. A lot of people are so vastly talented, and that's what they love. That's what makes them wake up every day and have purpose. And then the feedback that you get from people is just a delight. That you can't even really, you can't articulate it very well. It's just such a feeling that people take out of their time and you become a part of their lives. The music, I know how important it is, my soundtrack of my life, the songs that I listen to every day that spur me on, that lift me. You know, that's important to us all. And I think, I'm not talking about fame. Fame is not a real thing. You know, you are who you are, but you can get famous, and that just means a whole lot of people know about you. But you can't get unfamous, you see. So you have to balance and decide what is your real life. It doesn't matter what the image is because, you know, we can Photoshop all of ourselves. Instead of they should have Photoshop where you could just Photoshop your face, and it would take away from all that plastic surgery that people do. But... I'm not against people trying to feel better and trying to make themselves feel better. It's just
right. There
are so many things that we can do within ourselves to make ourselves feel better, cheerlead ourselves, to take care of ourselves. And I think we're taught on the one hand to not be selfish. So it's a dichotomy. You know, don't be selfish. But I'm telling you, you have to. Only you can really cheerlead yourself. That voice that's in your head that says, don't be down. You can do, there's something to do. There's another book you can read. You can always read a book. If everything else is going wrong, I bet you can find a story that'll take you there. You know. But we do a lot, I think, as a race of people, and I'm talking about the human race. We do a lot. As human beings, that is a waste of our energy and spirit when we could be putting that energy into marvelous things. Human beings have the capacity for marvels. The inventions, the science we hold in our hands. And I say this particularly to girls. If girls, young girls, I tell them all the time, if you love science and if you love math, and you go hard at that, do that. It doesn't matter that people don't inspire you to be scientific or mathematic. You be who you are and grow and educate yourself from that. Believe me, I take full observance of the shape of women in the world. The perception of women in the world is very important to me. You know, women are in the position because when I was growing up as a teenager in New York City, the whole sexual revelation, the sexual revolution, and women's lib were coming about. So I saw the changes happen, but I look at the position that women are in now where they take so much. They take so much crap from other women, from men, in the workplace, in home. Nobody dates anymore. Oh, my gosh, growing up, you know, when you were a teenager, when I was growing up, that was some of the most wonderful thing that you could ever get to do was be taken out on dates. Well, now, because the women live, of course, you need to pay your own way, which is okay, too, because I advocate women having their own. Please, have your own, because having your own is what makes you independent in your mind. It's a great equalizer. If you have your own money, then you don't have to depend on anybody else's money. Have
that
your own ideas, your own personality, you know?
Yes. Well, I'm glad that you shared that because I know that there's some listeners out there and, you know, we need to be motivated, inspired, and hear, you know, things like you said from back then. You said people used to date and
yes.
How our generation has changed. And so
yes.
I think it always says use wisdom and listen to people with wisdom. And so I want you listeners, I hope you guys have been listening and writing down things, because I know I've been listening and I have been so inspired just by Suze's energy and her passion, and even just listening to the music. I mean, the music, it just gives you a different feeling. I mean, it when you listen to it, it just gives you a whole different energy. So we're going to get ready to hear the song In the Night. And so if you can go ahead and tell the listeners about that song, we're going to go ahead and hear that in a few minutes.
Sure. Minnie Riperton's bass player, Ed Brown, was my husband. And when this album came out, and he played bass and he wrote this song with me, In the Night is a very sensual song. And it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's been very popular because it is sensual. And I think women always were a bit behind in music in being sensual, because there's a fine line that you cross, you know, between sensual and dirty. So you have to think about that. As I was presenting my music, I had to think about that because I wanted to present a sexy woman, a sensual woman, but it wasn't anything that, you know, was offensive. That's the word I'm looking for. So people have written me through the years and said, you know, it's one of their faves on Partners, Sherry and Suze, because it's the music is so romantic. So there we go.
Okay. Well, we're about to hear In the Night, and it's by Suze Green. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and we are joined by the one and only Suze Green. And I'm going to let Suze tell you guys once again where you can find her and find out about her music as well.
Hi. Or you can find me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/SusayGreen. That's SusayGreene. So that's facebook.com/SusayGreen. And I'm always on Twitter, well, not always, but very often. I do communicate with a lot of people around the world. I'm very blessed to have a lot of friends. So you can find me on Twitter. And that, of course, is twitter.com/Susay, S-U-S-A-Y-E. And I also want to mention Supreme Partners Live, my partner Sherry Payne, who sang the album Partner Sherry and Susay with me. A lot of these songs we did were solos. We're performing them together. A lot of them we sang together, but we never got to perform them live. So we are doing that now. We're going to take these songs around the world. A lot of people are asking us to come, and if you want us to come to your city, please get in touch with us. You can go to www.supremepartnerslive.com for all the information about what's going on. You can also see our events, our show reviews in the press and the gallery, and you can contact us there. And reach out, please, to our people, Sydney Colston, who is my manager, and you can reach everyone. Kristen, thank you very much. Kristen Wright Matthews, who is our wonderful PR master, and you can find them both at supremepartnerslive.com. So please reach out to us. Please, I'm asking you once again to go and sign that goodwill treaty if you can. It's at Bryant, B-R-Y-A-N-T, M-C, McGill, BryantMcGill.com, BryantMcGill.com/treaty, T-R-E-A-T-Y. More than 150,000 people have signed this treaty. Matt Damon, Don Cheadle, Ben Affleck, Montel Williams, Ray Romano, a lot of people who are very conscious about our world and about us continuing to be in our world in a peaceful state. So give it a look. And I want to thank you very, very much for having me today. I'd like to shout out to my Facebook friends and fans. A lot of people keep me laughing and going every day. My friend Sherry, who is the administrator over at Rain Cloud America. We're Rain fans. The South Korean singer Rain is a big fan of I'm a big fan of his. And so we have a lot of fun talking about his music and movies and things like that coming out. But there are a lot of people that I went to school with on Facebook, and I'm sending my love out there. And my friend Andy Scuro at Universal, George Solomon, Kevin Reeves, who remastered Partners just brilliantly. I'd love to thank Sydney Colston, who manages me as well, and say hi to Kristen again, who sets up all of the PR and the bookings. And, you know, it's a big thing to jump out there and try to bring your soul to the world, but that's what we're doing. So thanks so much, Ms. TJ. Thank you very much for having me and for being so kind to me today.
Well, you are so welcome. It's been an honor and a pleasure, and thank you for being a part of Faces of Success Radio. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and we'll hear some music.
Faces of Success Radio, your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
It's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and we have had an amazing time on today's show. I want to just thank Dr. Farmer for being on the show with Ask Dr. Farmer. And if you guys have a question or comment or would like to, for him to share some things on next week's show, all you have to do is email him at james.farmer@att.net. Once again, that's james.farmer@att.net. And I just want to thank Suze Green, for being a part of the show on today. We had an amazing time, and I know that you guys enjoy the music, so I encourage you to go on her website, check her out, go ahead and check out her social media, and you can tune in again next week at the same time. We come on every week at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we just have an amazing time. So tune in. We'll have phenomenal guests and have an amazing time. I just want you to be inspired, uplifted, and motivated, and just be blessed. Thank you for tuning in.
www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio, or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.